Go Bears!
Coach, we went a few weeks there for a stretch where we didn't get to hear this.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Hydra, our friends over at Hydra.
Part of it losing, so we only plays in the wins.
Only
part
plays
of it
in the
was
wins.
Technology. Yeah, even when we were winning, though, when we flipped it, we had some Hydra technology
issues. And that was a bummer. I think we had to really get enough wins to really get past everything.
Yeah, there was like a moment where the inertia finally kind of pushed back. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Brady.
But we got the tech rolling here.
We're rolling.
You guys are rolling. Just absolutely cooking.
Yeah.
You know, it was a tight game against Northern Arizona, but you found a way. And you're telling me all these. I'm wondering why certain players are out at certain point. You've got so many inside stories that we can get into. But you found a way at the end of the day to beat Northern Arizona 78-77.
We did.
Now 8-7. You guys have won 7 basketball games in a row.
It's 7 in a row, and it's actually the 9th or maybe even the 8th longest winning streak in the country now. It was the 9th a couple days ago, and I think I saw a tweet that Utah State got beat, so now it's 8. I don't know. It's 8th or 9th longest winning streak in America, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you just got to focus on the next game. But, you know, the tale of three seasons continues, right, where we kind of sold to our guys and, you know, you're 9-1 and then in the first 10 games and then the next 10 games, you're 2-8, and that's part of our story too. And then this final third season, you know, the last 11 games, kind of that goal going back to it when we took those 8 box scores and Zach Block, senior, we had him go flush that down the toilet, and we said our only goal is to get back to becoming a winning program over this last 11 games, which if the math is right, says you got to get to at least 6-5. And
mm-hmm.
one, that means we're winning, but two, and that's a daunting task when you're 1-7 in league, but that's a daunting task. But then two, it means that maybe at that point you're around that 6-7, you know, in the rankings. And now with 3 games to go, we are 7-1 over that last 11 games, and 3 critical games coming up left. But it's just been fun, you know. It's been fun. It's been awesome to see the guys have such a resolve, right?
And it's such a tight race too.
Oh, it's brutal.
My goodness,
it's exciting, but it's brutal.
I mean, Montana State's sitting at 9-6 in second place. Potentially, there's a shot for the Bears to move all the way up to second place. There's still the danger zone too. If things go south, where you guys could move, slide back toward the bottom. So there's a lot to play for in these last 3 games.
I think in these last 3 games, and I kind of lump that into the same kind of package of games because this Thursday, Saturday, Monday, 3 games in 5 days.
Wild.
So in these last 3 games, you're absolutely right, Brady. We can't get first, but we're 1 game out of 2nd place. And then on the flip side, we are 1 game out of 7th place. And all these teams are playing. EWAS is right there with us. Idaho's right below us. Montana's right above us. And so these are all critical games for so many reasons. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it would be awesome to win 2-3, 3-3, win out, finish second place. That would be an unbelievable story. Clearly, I want to win every game. But the bottom line, we are fighting to, like we've talked about, we're fighting to stay in that top 6 because really, 3-6, it doesn't really matter. You know, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. There's no extra rest. There's no extra games. But when you get to 7, 8, 9, 10, when you get to that world, there is an extra game. So trying to stay out of that 7th spot is critical for the Bears. And we're going to have to go get it done on the road, starting with the EWASH. And they're playing awesome. They've won 6 in a row. We're the last team to beat them. And they've won at Montana State, at Portland State in the stretch. So they're playing red hot right now. So it should be an awesome game on Thursday night.
No, I know months ago we kind of looked at this last stretch of games too. We just kind of said, oh, that's going to be an interesting week. We'll see what rides on that week, playing Thursday, Saturday, and Monday. But coach, you guys also, it was senior night.
It was.
You guys did your senior night. We talked about that last week, why you chose to do it on that Saturday as opposed to your final home game, which would be next Monday. Your senior, now the numbers are crazy for Brock Wisney, but Zach Block made some incredible plays late defensively.
Sure, yes.
Quinn was, you know, he was hitting free throws and suddenly he wasn't hitting free throws, but Brock Wisney, 38 points for him.
Yeah, and like big shout out to the senior night, 6 seniors, 5 players and our head manager, Kristen Bokelman. So we had Bokelman, and then, you know, you go through the senior stuff, you got Will Humer, who's graduating. You got Ibu Yamazaki, who technically says he's a junior, which he is, but he had a medical register. So this is his 4th year in college, and he's graduating. Again, who knows for sure, but by all intents and purposes, in terms of how we recruited Ibu, the goal is for him to graduate and then he wants to go back to Japan, where he's from, and get drafted in their top professional league, the B1 league. That could change, but I mean, we want to make sure we honor him as he's a graduate. And then you got, Zach, Quinn, and Brock. So you said six seniors. We had about 30, 40 people out there for that picture. And that in and of itself creates a little bit of a sideshow. I hate to say distraction, but it is like in the sense of like, you know, the players probably have a little bit more, not pressure, but just there's more there because their people are there. I thought we hit it perfect deciding to do it on the Saturday because usually you do it the final home game. But the way the schedule works, we're at UWash, we're at Idaho, we fly back Sunday morning, we play Monday night Montana. Well, that should be senior night. Well, you could do it there, but we love the Saturday because more people can get off work. And then with it being our bye week or whatever, we didn't play Thursday. So a lot of these families came in as early as Wednesday, Thursday to spend some time with their kids. Yeah. And they had time to spend with these guys as opposed to like them showing up Sunday. We're not even back yet. Like that just didn't sit right with us. So I'm glad we did it this way. But yeah, I mean, you know, getting through that and you know, the game itself, you know, there's a uniform malfunction for Ring, and he was playing awesome kind of midway through the first half. And so that knocked him out for probably 8 minutes of game time, which was not the plan. And then Zach, you know, busted up his nose the first play of the second half. And so by the time he stopped bleeding or leaking or whatever, it was about a media of, you know, probably 4 minutes. Brock had a second foul in the first, he had 20 points in the first half. Then he got a second foul, which was not a good call. And I only say it because the ref came up too and was like, hey, man, I totally missed that. Mm. And it was great. It's like, well, yeah, we're up 41-32 and we're starting to finally separate and play well. And, by the time we got it back in to score one more time, it was 41-41 and we flipped it -9. Egan had foul trouble as well. So that game was set up for disaster and I didn't feel good about it. I didn't like the bye week. I thought we handled it well, but it's just like you're out of a routine of playing Thursday, Saturday when you only play Saturday. So that was the one tough thing about it, but found a way to get it done. And even as it is, and we can get back to Brock as I, you know, digress, but it's 77-71 with the minute 20 left with Quinn Danker shooting free. We had the ball and he got fouled.
Yeah.
So he's a great free throw shooter. He's in the 80s. So we're like, all right, you know, should we go up 7-8 points with the minute 20? The game's almost over. Missed the 1-1, the front end. We go to switch mode so we don't give up threes because they got all these guys who can shoot. We handled the switch. They tried to pick on us on a switch, and Brock did a good job on Abel, and they threw it in the post to Trayvar Jackson, and Ring was resisting, and the guy kind of posted him up, shoots the layup, which again, shoots the layup. We're still up four, which is two possessions, but they called it an and-one. So we did give up a 3-1 play, so you know he made the free throw. Now it's a one-possession game and so on and so forth. So that thing came down to the bitter end, and it never felt that way until it felt that way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, it was one of those. You guys have had some of those games where it went the other way.
Yeah.
Where I'm 99% confident, you know, watching this game play out, oh, the Bears are going to win, and then suddenly that 1% creeps in late.
Oh, crept in.
And you're going, oh, wow, this could end in a possession here, and this thing could be over, but you guys come up with a key stop at the end. And Zach
got the final stop, you know, and you know, going before that, like, you know, they got the three-point play. It came down, it fell Brock. He went 1-2 from the line, so it's 78-74, not 79, so he missed a free throw. They come down, we screw up a switch, they bang a three, it's a one-possession game. Come down, we do what we've been doing all game with, you know, attacking their kind of blitz coverage and get Brock in a short roll, which helped him to the 38 points. And he got sped up a little bit, and they called a charge. Now it's like, oh, my gosh, they're going to get the last shot here. Mm-hmm. And credit to our guys to dig in and get that final stop and that final rebound.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Brock was talking about this yesterday, you know, missed two free throws. He said somebody – he didn't tell me exactly who, but on the other team, somebody said you have a weird rotation. You're on your shot, your shot has a weird rotation.
And it does.
And he's like, I guess I never really thought about that in that moment. And that he thinks maybe that's why he missed one of those free throws. So it's like, well, yeah, you know, just, I mean, 38, you could add 40 I mean, if that guy's not messing with you.
You could have no rotation on that shot. You scored 38 points. Who cares, right? But like, yeah, like that's funny. But
it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Got to do something, I guess, to slow a guy down that's almost 40.
He was great, you know. And it's like we talk about embracing the coverage. Well, they didn't want to double, and we post up quite a bit, and they didn't want to double. And so it's like we'll just keep throwing it in. And Danker had a lot of success on the block as well. And for whatever reason, now they eventually started doubling, but, you know, Brock was great all night long, and I think he was like 13 for 17 or 14 for 18 from two. I mean, he just didn't miss much, and so he was great.
Yeah. No, it was one of those games, though, where you just knew. Because for you guys, you know, this is when you lost to Northern Arizona last time. That was maybe the lowest. Not that you guys were low. We've had these conversations.
But that was the final loss.
Yeah. And maybe it was, because I think we even talked about it on the podcast. Are we that good? You know, that was the question. And we kept saying, it's like, this team is too good to be 1-7. And then that loss hits.
Yeah. I think we were 1-6.
1-6.
And
yeah.
They were 0-7 going into that game.
Yeah.
Now they've gotten a lot better too. They've, sure. You know, starting with beating us, they'd won 4 of their last 7 games. Beat Ewash. I mean, who again is playing really well. Like, they're playing much better now. I think they've changed some things in the rotation. I like how they're playing. They're a team that clearly can beat anybody, I think. So it just goes to our league too that, and even Portland State, they've lost 2 of their last 3 games. You know, obviously, and we beat them, and I thought we beat them pretty resounding fashion.
Yeah.
And then Ewash just went in there and won at Portland State. They still have won a share of the league because they only have 3 losses with 3 games to go in Montana State. So they might win the league by 3-4 games. But I feel like we're all about the same. And so it's going to end up being like, again, can you get to the top 6? Can you get the right matchups and go from there? But just super exciting times, right? Super exciting.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing what you guys – because, again, there's a lot of teams, lesser teams. You know, you look at your record and go 1-7. This is, you know, it's going to be a rough go, and we'll just kind of limp it into to the postseason, and we'll see what happens. But this team, you guys – have just handled your business, taken everything seriously, and found a way to turn this season around.
Yep. And I think, too, like the blessing of finding a way to win ugly. We played good enough to get up 8-9 points multiple times in this game, but we never played great. And our secret sauce formula, the winning, losing stuff that we talk about a lot, it did not come out well, you know. And in this stretch, most of the time, we've been playing so well, the numbers are great, but our shot quality wasn't great. It was fine, but it wasn't great. Our rebound effort was good, wasn't great. And because of that, our bottom line number wasn't great, and this is what happens. And you know, so I think it's a blessing because it's like we kind of got their attention in this and saying, hey, yeah, we have 1-7 in a row. We could have easily lost that game in the stats, the numbers that we showed them yesterday, and then followed up by the film. You know, stats, I think – I'm going to screw the subs, old Dom. I think stats convict and the film indicts, or is that backwards? What is it, Brady?
I think that
stats – confused?
I
don't know, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, I know where you're going.
The film locks it, right? The film locks it, because sometimes the stats can be misleading. But anyways, you know, we went through and watched all the film yesterday. We showed them from the NAU games. Like, hey, there's a lot of good things. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of bad things too. And if we expect to make this final push in this final run, and how cool would it be if we got all the way to second place?
That would be awesome.
Month, we flip it from dead last to second. Man, like, that's Hollywood story stuff, right? But regardless, we're not winning the regular season championship, but can we push up? Can we make this run and be the hottest team in the country going into Boise? That's on the table. And so we just got to keep pushing and playing well. And all we got to really control is let's have a great Tuesday. Let's have a great lift and then a great practice and then move on from there.
These are the times, though, because Thursday is going to be a huge day,
huge
night in the Big Sky.
Yes.
This is when I wish not every game was at 7 o'clock. Like,
I
want to be able – so I'll be going back and forth because – pretty much every game has an impact on the Bears.
Because
Idaho's playing Northern Arizona. Let's have Idaho go ahead and lose that game.
Yeah.
So they fall further back. Montana and Sac State. Montana's 8-7. So then it gets interesting there. And then Portland and Montana State. Huge game.
Yep. Huge game. So yeah, I mean, it's, and then you get to the Saturday. That's where Weber plays at Idaho. So Weber's 9-7. Let me think. What is Weber?
9-7.
9-7.
Yep. Yeah. And then
they have 2 games left, but at Idaho State, at Portland State.
Yeah.
Not an easy slog. Idaho State is resurrected. They just cracked Montana and Montana State last week. And so, like, again, like, there's no easy games for any of us right now.
No.
So we just gotta get through the mud and, you know, kind of grind our way through it and see what happens. But I'm super excited. You know, I just control what we can control. Hopefully the other, you know, scenarios work out in our favor, but you can't control that. So you just got to focus on, hey, if we keep winning, we're going to be in a great spot.
How do you feel like at this point? I talked to Brock a little bit about this. Like, are you itching just to get to that tournament, or are you looking at saying, no, man, we got work to be done. We got to take our time here and we don't want to wish past anything.
Yeah. I think if you're Portland State and you've locked up the one seed, you're like, hey, let's just stay healthy, get into the tournament. Again, that's not our scenario. With it being where we could get all the way to second or all the way down to seventh or fourth, knowing that all these games, we got to treat these games like, you know, I don't want to say life or death because it's a game, but like we got to, and our guys are, they're locked into that. And again, playing an EWAS team is playing so good. And then we didn't really play that good Saturday night in a lot of ways, which I think is a great situation. I think we're going to get a great version of the Bears, and we're going to need it to win up there for sure.
Is one of those games against Northern Arizona, you get the win. The way it was kind of unwinding, though, not that it felt like a loss or anything, but it kind of felt like it was leading up to being one of those crazy upset type finishes. Is that a good thing, though?
Yes.
Because you guys have been red hot.
I think so.
To have a game like that in the middle of this run.
Yeah, like in the last, you know, before the previous four games, and we went at Weber by 14, just played great. We went at Idaho State by 8, and it could have been 10, 12, 14. Then we come home, we beat Sac State by 16, so score almost 100 points. And then we beat Portland State by 12. So, like, in that last four games, we're cooking teams by 11, 12, 13, something like that. And then you can take for granted a little bit how hard that is to do. And the same scenario was kind of playing itself out. We're up 9 late first half against Northern Arizona when that foul happens. But then we got back up 8 or 9. We actually got up 10.
Mm-hmm.
We got up 10. And we could have stretched even more, and we just didn't make enough plays. And then you start playing with fire, you start missing free throws, and some things happen, and a couple breakdowns defensively, and boom, next thing you know, it's right there. So I'm glad, don't get me wrong, I'm glad we won that game. There's no moral victories, and no, let's learn by having a loss. No. We need to win all these games to give ourselves the best thing we can.
Okay, this is a dumb question. So I'm asking this like from an NBA perspective. If, let's say you win the next two games, everything happens right, your position is fixed. There's no, a win or loss wouldn't change anything going up against Montana. Do you view that game differently? Because in the pro sports, we'll say,
oh yeah,
yeah. Are you resting guys? Are you doing any of that stuff? But I also know momentum is so key. Let's assume that you nothing can be changed by the time you get to your Monday game against Montana. Do you approach that game differently, or do you just say no? We're treating this like a playoff game.
No. I would be shocked if there's a scenario where we were all locked in, because I think that game is going to be so critical. But even
probably
if it was,
so.
Like in the hypothetical, even if it was, no, I mean, we played them there. That was a low point. We're down 30-10 early first half. So it's like our guys remember that. And so, like, I look at it too, like, hey, if we get a chance to go in there and our final game at home, we're pushing that game hard. Students, crowd. We had an awesome crowd on Saturday. And we don't have a ton of students on Saturdays, but it's a Monday game. So, like, can we get the students to really show up in this final Monday game? And then if the community keeps coming in, you know, let's say we got 2,000 people there. Now we're pulling the punches out. We're swinging. That's just what we do. There's so many things, like, you know, the seeding's on the line. We're chasing 20 wins, which is the elite benchmark in college basketball. And now we're right there, which when you're 11 and 10, it's like, that ain't, but now, hey, we're 18 and 10.
Yeah.
And maybe we get to it on the road here. Who knows? Right. But, we're right there, and you want to get to that benchmark if you can. And we just want to play as well as we can going into Boise for sure. And so, yeah, I think we would probably go, you know, guns blazing for sure on Monday.
I was looking at this yesterday, just your overall records and everything. I don't know if you think about this kind of thing, but, you know, with obviously mathematically you guys are going to have an over 500 record.
Yeah, it'll be winning, yeah.
You've only had one season, Coach, under 500.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I actually do know that one.
It's pretty astonishing, man.
Yeah, and it's... You look at the Big Sky. I think there's a bunch of good teams, but in the Big Sky this year, there's only maybe 5 teams with winning records out of 10. I don't know, something like that. So when you put into the context of this is a league where it's very hard to have a winning record, and I think too, like, that when we have the ability over the course of, you know, all these years to continue to do it over the course of time, I think the only way to really evaluate success is the true test, the only test is that test of time. So if you can do it over and over and over again, this is pretty cool. And it's just a testament to starting from the support all the way, you know, from our administration to the community, to the fundraising, to the donors, to the boosters, but then to the staff, to the players. No, you're not winning if you don't have great staff and great players. Like that's what the secret sauce is, but you have to have the infrastructure too.
Yeah.
And we found a way, and it's been a challenging climate. Everyone knows that everyone's seeing these layoffs and a budget and a $14 million deficit, and everyone's seen all the stuff that's going on at UNC. So it's not like we're just awash in cash rolling out here and just, we're just, no, like we've had to do this, you know, by the skin of our teeth. And I take a tremendous amount of pride in that for sure.
Well, and I think that's even more of a testament to you guys aren't going to lay down. So when you were 1-7, you're not going to lay down.
That's right.
You had this history and then suddenly you, it's almost kind of like, I don't know, there's a movie somewhere where it's like, remember who you are. There's a Lion King, remember who you are. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
You're Simba in this case,
Simba,
Coach.
Yeah, we're Simba.
But you did. You guys took that look in the mirror, figured it out, and now guaranteed to have a winning record.
We are guaranteed to have a winning record with the 18 wins. But now, again, we want more.
Yeah.
You know, we want to win these last three games, which starts with we want to win Thursday night. We want to, like I said, what if we go from 10th to second? What if we win 10 in a row? What if we have the fourth, or the third, or the second longest winning streak in the country, you know, 8 days from now? You know, what, it's crazy. And, but it's also too, it's our expectation, our standards that we're supposed to be good. And we got great players. We got great infrastructure. The bubble we have right now with our players, staff, all, it's great. And so like, why wouldn't we be competing for that type of stuff?
Coach, just watching these games, and again, you kind of know my situation. I'm kind of tied to the couch. I got to watch these games at home with the kiddo and, in his dependency and stuff. But from what I see on TV, it looks like these crowds are getting bigger. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. We had right over 1800. Now keep in mind the bank holds just under 3000. It's like 2900. Saw a tweet. I could send it to you or kids could send it to you, but it broke down the average attendance in the Big Sky for the 10 schools, but then it also broke down capacity percentage.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to oversell this. We don't have as big a crowd as Montana State, Sac State, but second in the league this year in filling your arena capacity of percentage filled. It was like 58%. Sacramento State was really high, like 85, but we were number two in the league in filling our arena. So what we have and what our community is, we're second in filling it up in terms of percent, which I thought was great. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge.
So, yeah, like, you know, I mean, we're – and I think, you know, I have meetings actually every Tuesday. I have a marketing meeting with John Kitzman and his team, promotions, different things we can do, right, you know, students, community, whatever it is. But – and this is our last one because we have the game on Monday with Montana, but I believe we are on track to have the biggest overall attendance and revenue that we've had. And that's not just a shout out to us. Like that's a shout out to John Kitzman and his team.
Yeah.
Like, they've done a great job of finding ways to get creative, but I do think people are showing up. I think people are coming out. And I do think this last Monday, this Montana attracts, let's be honest. Montana attracts people. Montana State attracts people. Weber State attracts people because of their tradition and history. So you got Montana coming in, right? You get the final home game. It is a Monday game, which I think is going to be a good thing. We're going to all be just dog tired, both teams with the travel and everything. And we have to be able to manipulate that the right way so our guys have the right legs for that game. But I think we're going to have a great crowd, and I'm super excited about that.
Are you, you know, you're such a busy dude, but when you are out in the community, are you getting a sense that there are, like, new fans, like, new people coming up, like, I'm getting into this Bears
team? Yeah, I think so.
That's exciting,
man. It's this show. It's a two-man game. It's the Greeley Tribune promoting stuff. It's all stuff we're doing in-house with social media, right? It's the UNCBears.com. But, yeah, like, you know, I'll tell you, there's probably two or three people that grabbed me at church on Sunday. Hmm. I didn't know those people, right? And they're like, hey, man, seven in a row. Room for you. I'm like, whoa, thanks, man. You know, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I do think that there's, and again, people are attracted to winning. Let's be honest. Like, if we don't put a good product on the court, it's harder to sell the product, right? But, you know, we've been winning for so long. And I go all the way back to the Coach Linder days. Like, we've had pretty successful teams for a decade. And I think people want to get behind that. People want to get behind. There's a lot of things. You know, we have enough local kids on our team, right, in the sense of in-state kids. We have kids that are tough. Like, it just – it fits into this Greeley culture, too. And so I think there's – it's been a great synergy. And I think we're going to have – we might have the biggest crowd of the year on Monday. We haven't hit 2,000 yet this year, which is really hard for us to do. But we hit like an 1836 or something against Ewash. In this last game, NAU, it was over 1800 people again with limited students. The students will be there on Monday, right? You know, class and session. So like, I think we can get this thing. I'm hoping.
That would be awesome.
Too.
Well, just like I said, I noticed more and more, you're just not seeing those little pockets of seats. You're seeing people in those stands.
It was a great crowd.
Yeah, filling it up.
Yeah, it was a great, and people were, like, people are into it too. And it's just been fun. It gives us so much energy, right? It's just a huge thing.
It's awesome. I love watching this team, coach. Real quick while we have you here,
yeah.
Andy Feinstein, president of UNC, stepping down. It was kind of, it was a pretty big shock, I think, to everybody in the community.
It's a shock to me. The formal announcement came out Friday. He called me Thursday night. We've gotten really close. And, you know, he honestly is the best president I've ever been around. Not just because he supports athletics and basketball, which is critical in my world, right? But just the type of human being he is. And I think that his willingness to always be on, like, you know, you hit the record button, right? He's always on. And I think it's hard. I think that a president is like a head coach, but with like 98 million more tentacles out there, right? You got to do everything. You got to fundraise. You got to do this. You got academics. You got faculty. You got student senate. You got all these groups. I was talking to, on a recent Monday to the Panhellenic, which is our sorority, group. And I brought four or five players, and then to our IFC, which is our fraternity group, on a Monday night. So spoke to the one group at like 5 o'clock. Quick talk, 15 minutes, guys did their deal. And the next talk was at 6 o'clock, so I stayed in the UC, got a meal at this place called Bowlful. It's really good. And I'm sitting there. Sure enough, President Feinstein's walking through there with somebody. Oh, wait, Smiley, what's up, man? I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I got to go talk to this group. So it's the same thing. Like, you're always on. And I can't speak for Andy, but I'm sure that, you know, he's been doing this and just relentlessly, and he's done so many great things. I don't know what he inherited. Like, I know when we got the job with Coach Center, I know we inherited the good parts and the challenges. I'm sure there were multiple challenges and good parts. But I just look at, like, it's a sad day, to be honest. It's sad because he's done so much for our campus. And the people that I work with and our donors and people that support us, they love him.
Yeah.
They love him. And he's just been so integral into – we were staying with a bunch of donors 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was on that trip. He wants to be a part of everything. He wants to be, you know, he wants to go to the football games. He wants to go to this. It's just, you know, I think our volleyball team, when we were in Omaha, they played Creighton, right? The next night. I think he was there for that. Like, I just think that he's, that button's always on. And who knows? I can't speak for President Feinstein, but I know this. He's emptied that tank. He's emptied that tank for the Bears for years and years and years, and all the challenges that have been presented with enrollment and budgets. He's fought that fight, and it can't be easy, and there's been a lot of hard decisions he's had to make, but, I consider him a tremendous friend. I hope he stays around, but it's a sad day for sure.
He'll be sticking around until what, officially, August 1st or so?
He's gonna go through August 1st, which is great to see this thing through. And, you know, when we were talking, he was like, well, he's like, I sure hope that, you know, we can push to March Madness. He goes, I want that to be one of my final. And I'm like, hey, man, like, that's, yeah.
No pressure or anything,
yeah,
Andy.
Yeah, I told him, yeah, no pressure. But but what if we got to March Madness and we had the pres there one last time? Wouldn't that be awesome?
In that mode, when you know there's a change coming, you just said it. You know, Andy's like, obviously he's in tune with everything, but he's also a sports guy. There are colleges where a president comes in and sports maybe isn't their thing.
No, it happens all the time.
Is that something you probably can't spend much time thinking about that, because obviously you want the next president to kind of be really glued in onto the sports scene.
Well, like you say, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do hope the next president, whoever it is, has the same vision of athletics that the President Feinstein does. And I've been around, you know, I've been in college athletics for over 20 years now. And at all levels, right? The NAIs, the D2s, the junior colleges, Division Ones, and the president is an integral piece of the success or lack thereof of athletics. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful and prayerful that, you know, the next president can have the same ideas and vision that President Feinstein had. But at the same point, that's so far above and beyond my pay grade. Like, I don't have any control over that. So it's like, control your controllables.
Yeah.
But you gotta hope, right? Yeah, you gotta hope. Cause you're right. Yeah, I mean, it's presidents. Now, I had the best president shared in college. So good. Paul Young came in, he dove in, got us energized. What do you need to help me? You know, how can you use me as part of your program to get people excited to raise money? And then I left, eventually went to Weber State, right? And then he retired. And then, I don't know the new president. The new president came out, shut down athletics. That was COVID years, whatever it is. There's no more athletics shared in college. It was a top 10, 20 basketball program in the country. I mean, if you're bored, Brady searches out the Sheridan College, Bruce Hoffman, Golden Dome. It's one of the meccas of, and I got a coach there for 6 years. There's not a team there anymore. There's no athletics. And it's so like, yeah, like you could see stuff. But again, you can't control this stuff. But yeah, just, it's a super sad day because, and I just enjoy, you know, President Feinstein on a human level, what he does. And you know, I just think he's a great person.
Yeah. Well, we'll be obviously hoping the best, you know, make this final run here, exciting at the very least. It certainly feels like you guys are, you know, maybe a month ago, I don't know how we felt, you know, about as far as your chances. But right now I look at the big sky and I say, Bears have just as good a shot as anybody.
Oh, we do.
In this conference right now.
No, we do. And I do think last year, you know, anyone could win it 3 games. But last year, and people talk about this all the time, that we were so good last year. Montana was so good. And you know what? Portland State was really good last year, too. And it wouldn't have shocked me if any one of us three won it. But to say anyone outside of us three, it would have, to me, it would have been a bit of a shock. Mm-hmm. And then we run through it. Montana runs through it. We have that epic game that beat us. But this year, I'm telling you right now, Brady, it's totally different. Not because teams are bad. I believe there are 10 very competent, high-caliber teams, and that the classes of teams, you know, again, like there was such a breakdown. It's not like that anymore. And all the analytics say it. The feel says it. The teams beating each other up says it. I believe this. For people thinking about going out to Boise just to watch some great basketball, I believe this is going to be an epic Boise. And hopefully the Bears come out on top, right? Like a Royal Rumble. But this is the goal. And yeah, it would be cool to kind of get this thing done.
Yeah, I mean,
for many reasons.
I mean, Northern Arizona could make a case.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you look at the standings, you go, they're in the bottom of this conference.
Iowa State had lost 9 in a row.
Yeah.
They just obliterated Montana State. They just, last weekend, they were Montana State, who's in second place? I don't say it was up 50-30 at halftime. Just rolling. And that's what this league is. Like, I don't say it was dead last. Maybe they still will finish that. I don't know. But that doesn't mean they're bad.
Yeah.
No one obliterates Montana State like that. And they just did it. And so it's like, I'm telling you, I think all 10 teams have a legitimate shot, health, confidence, right? Like, that's a big thing too. Are you healthy? Do you got confidence? You're playing well. And the thing I've learned about our team, our league is, man, the more detailed we are, which just sounds obvious, but we weren't detailed enough Saturday night, and it left it up to chance, to a one shot. We've got to continue to fight for detail, and that'll give us the best chance we can have.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. I can't wait to watch this and to, you know, get into coverage of this. This is going to be so much fun.
I agree.
Why am I blanking out on our guy who I interviewed 2 weeks ago, our Big Sky announcer that's like, sounds like the Tanner Schwint version. It's like the country guy.
Oh,
Weber State coach.
The legend.
Cravens.
Yeah. Cravens.
I'm going to bring him on.
That?
Oh, he was amazing.
Did he give you some of his one-liners?
4 million one-liners. It's
the best.
Basically just that.
He is, I didn't really know him until that. Now, I was at Weber and maybe met him a little bit, but then like, he does the Weber State broadcast, so like they get this great advantage of just how funny he is. Now, hey, we got Jerry Schimmel.
You got Jerry.
Oh, he's the legend.
He's awesome.
Jerry's the pro.
But maybe he needs to throw in a few more of those one-line jokes.
No, Jerry's, hey, listen, Jerry's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
he's
100%.
Like, we are so blessed to have Jerry Schimmel. But the funniness of Cravens, no one really knew it. And then he got on this Big Sky, like he was doing the Boise stuff, and this started going viral.
Oh, nuts.
All these people just grab these one-liners, and it's like, some of it's borderline not appropriate, but it's so dang funny. But it's never like ridiculously inappropriate. And it's just, it's so funny what he does. And it's brought, give credit to the Big Sky, Cravens, but too, like this Starch Madness. I was like, what is this Starch Madness? Now we got these t-shirts with french fries on them.
So good.
It's a real thing. And they've done a great job. Like the Big Sky has done a great job of creating this excitement. Continue to modify the alignment of how it looks. But man, I tell you what, that Boise thing is a fun thing. It's a fun thing. And it's really fun when you're winning.
Yeah. Well, all of it that goes into it. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm so excited for it. Like as a fan, I'm pumped. I'm ready to just get there.
Yeah.
But I know for you guys, we got to handle business against Eastern Washington Thursday.
And we're really too. We're trying to get to our guys and they understand like, hey, when we went out to the Portland NTE, right? 3 games in 3 days. We did it for one reason. It's the same as what Boise could be. So we had St. Thomas. It's like whether we win or lose, you got to move on to the Final Four. We lose in that epic game. They hit the full court shot to beat us. Mm. Brutal. But then we beat Fullerton. No, I lied. Then we have the host Team Portland, who beat Gonzaga, by the way. We beat them.
Yeah.
Beat Portland. So it's like, all right, this Fullerton game, we're tired. 3 games in 3 days, limited preparation. We got to go beat these guys. And we beat them. And Fullerton's a top half of the Big West team now. They're doing a good job. So now we're also trying to sell this 3 games in 5 days. Guys, this is the 3 games a chunk. So no matter what happens against Eastern Washington, obviously we want to win. That Idaho game's a Final Four. And then no matter what happens, that Montana game's a championship. Let's approach it as such so that we get ourselves in the right psyche and mindset to attack Boise, which is our final challenge. And I think it's good because whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter. You got to move on to the next one because you're alive, right?
Yeah.
You're alive. You get the next game because at some point it is a one-game season and you're not alive if you lose.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. This is our last show of the regular season, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been fun.
It's cooking.
I know we'll figure out. So, when would you guys leave next week? Because the game's Monday.
This is behind the scenes stuff. Okay. This is great. Okay. So we looked at it. You know, you got to book. We don't fly charter. We fly commercial. So now you got to book roughly 25 seats on a plane. You can't do that the day before, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't work. And so we worked with the travel agent with this one, and Coach Colin Goss, who does a great job, our operations coach, and he said, hey, Coach, what do you want me to do? Because, you know, at that point, we're in eighth place. It's like, well, if you get 7, 8, 9, 10, you are the first game on Saturday. Want to get there 2 days before she travels and get and settle in. That means you got to leave Thursday. If you're 3 through 6, which is the goal, right, you don't play till Monday. So you got to leave Saturday, right? Mm. So this whole thing is screwed up. And again, you don't need to get there early to evaluate who you might be playing because it's 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5. So you have two completely different scenarios. So working with our administration and working with our travel agent, we have 2 flights going to Boise. We have a Thursday flight.
Mm.
We have a Saturday flight. Then via United, shout out, whichever one we don't use, we can cancel. And we don't get the money back, but you get the credit. The credit will be used for whenever we eventually lose or win it, whatever, to get back to Greeley. So we've got protections on both ends. So I feel really good about that. The one scenario at the time we didn't factor in is, what if we got all the way to second, which looked so unfeasible when this is going down? Now we're 1 game out of second with 3 games to go. I don't know what the answer is to that.
Wow.
Now we got problems.
Yeah.
So like now it's like, all right, you know, we'll know more after Thursday if we won or lost, how these other, you know, Montana State, Montana, like Weber, who knows? We'll know more after Saturday, but probably not all of it. But yeah, like if we got up to second, I don't know. We probably just have to bite the bullet and still go out there a little bit early, I guess.
Yeah.
But we have not wrapped ourselves around that scenario. We've not booked 3 different scenarios. We booked 2, right? 7, 8, 9, 10, 3, 4, 5, 6. We knew we couldn't get the first, but now the second place because some teams are losing.
Yeah.
Montana State was in the mix. They've lost 2 or 3 in a row. Montana's lost 4 in a row. So now, like, everything's gotten jumbled.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
That's
but
a
like,
good problem to have, I guess.
We call those Dobo problems. Dobo problems are a real thing this time of year. Director of basketball operations problems. And that's a real thing. So, yeah, that's the behind the scenes for you today.
All right, man. So we don't know exactly.
We don't know
when you're heading out. So we'll probably have the regular podcast then, I'm guessing, after the Monday game.
Well, and I'm hoping we don't get out there too early because you can't get time on the court, you know, in the arena.
Yeah.
And – you know, a lot of teams have been able to utilize Boise State University, which is right next to downtown, but the practice is getting refinished. So, like, that's offline. Mm. You can't get into Boise State. So now you're talking about high schools and things like that. So you'd rather be in your own environment as long as you can, right? Your own practice gym, like your own nutrition, your own bed. Like, you don't want to make this longer than it has to be. The longer you get away, like, fatigue starts to make cowards of us all, right? Like, you're sleeping, you know, these guys are sleeping 2 to a room. Like, so you don't want to just get out there to get out there. And it's crazy expensive. So we got to be smart about that. And I'm also open from a selfish standpoint that, you know, my son plays state tournament this Friday.
Yeah,
I'll miss it.
That's right.
But they play Standing Lake. If they win, they go to Sweet 16, play Tuesday next week. I'll be here. That'll be our off day regardless of how things go against my – so I'll be there. Then, though, I think if they win, they get to the Coliseum for the grade 8, I think is on Friday. So if we get to that 3 versus 6 – 4 versus 5 situation, we leave till Saturday. So there's motivations in the Smiley household too to say, hey man, we gotta get to this top 6 and he's gotta keep winning so we can get to the Coliseum and cheer him on and this and that and be a dad. But they gotta handle business too. They gotta win some games as well. So there's a lot of moving parts in the Smiley household right now.
And that's exciting. I know for us too at the station, cause we followed Windsor all the way through last year.
Yep.
So I gotta see kind of what,
I got a real chance. Yeah, I don't love their seating. And, you know, you can have a whole podcast with Coach Dick about that. Like, it don't make no sense, man. Like, I think they finished seventh, but they have the 11th seed. Like, it makes no sense. And then the teams that played in these blended 6A, 5A leagues got massively penalized by playing teams way bigger than them. Not just the Wizards. Talk about a team like Mullen. Mullen is really good, but they had to play in the hardest league in the state in the 6A. And so, like, they're like the 19 seed. I'm just telling those dudes, they got this guy. You should look it up, Brady. I'm drawing a blank. His name's Bonner.
For Mullen?
Yeah. He's averaging 26 and 15. He's not even a basketball player. He is the best football player in the state, including my guy Deacon from Windsor. Deacon's already at Oklahoma. So Deacon was the line, best player in the state, the other best player in the state in football. Bonner, you have to Google that up and shoot me a text. Bonner.
Is it Mason Bonner?
Yeah. And Google him real quick. Where's he going to play college football at? He is one of the top players in American football.
Let's see. He's 6'7", 220 pounds.
Yeah, and he's a tight end. He's one of the best football players. He was one of the top prospects in America. Where's he playing football? This is his second sport. I think it's... What is it?
Well, we're gonna find out, man. Yeah.
Let's find out right now. Let's just stall out. Yeah, like, so for the people listening, Brady is typing feverishly on a Mac laptop.
Let's see. Why is it so difficult to find it here? There we go.
Yeah. Where's he going to?
Michigan.
Michigan.
He's going to Michigan.
He's going to Michigan. So he's going to Michigan. He is a monster. And in 5A Colorado basketball, no one can guard that guy. But because they played in the best 6A league in the state, they've gotten penalized by losing some games. Whoever got to play those guys, not to say they're going to just go through and win games, but like that is not going to be fun to have to deal, like, because they're the 19 seed. It's crazy. So not to get into this crazy Chassa, Max Preps thing, but at the end of the day, the 5A teams that have to play in these 6A blended leagues got really penalized by playing too good of teams. The Wizards have only lost one 5A game all year. They're 16-7. The other six losses are against 6A and out-of-state teams. They're really good. They're just like 14-1 against 5A. But they're the 11th seed. But, hey, so they're going to have to handle some business on the road. Like, it's not going to be an easy route. But I know Matt and the boys, they're excited to attack that.
I can't wait. We love it. I know we're figuring out our schedule this week, too, so we'll get into that. But I'm just looking at this Bonner kid. He had offers from Florida, Kansas State, Miami, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska.
One of the best football players in America. The other one is my guy Deacon from Windsor. He couldn't play basketball this year because he's already at Oklahoma. For whatever reason, Mason couldn't go to Michigan early, so that's why he's playing basketball.
Wow.
And so, these are the behind-the-scenes topics. This is the good intel.
You know, for me, and I need to do better at this, I don't really, other than like a Madden Smiley, I don't pay attention a ton personally to the high school guys. That's Bruce's field until they get to that college scene.
Sure.
This but guy's, there's some
he's
phenomenal
a really good basketball
players.
Player. If he was a basketball player, he's the type of guy we would have looked at, for sure. Just a specimen, but you put him on that football, and I've never seen a kid play football, but like it's not rocket science.
Well, I'll be following.
There's a reason he's going to Michigan. So there are some storylines in this thing that are really cool, but really strange too. So
stay
tournament time, baby.
I'm looking forward to it, Coach. Always appreciate your insight, man. Love doing this podcast with you, and we'll look forward to getting into the postseason podcast next week.
Yeah, next week we'll break down the bracket. We'll break down our travel situation. We'll break down the whole thing because it will all be out there by the time we talk again, Brady.
I love it, man. All right. Good luck on Thursday, my friend.
Go Bears.